Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go to the Buyer's Barricades hotline right now. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord with you. Pleased to be joined by great NFL Network analyst who you can follow on Twitter, at CFD22. Charles Davis joining us on the show right now. And, of course, NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2019 NFL Draft from Nashville starting Thursday at 7 o'clock Central. Charles, man, it's great to have you on the show. Compared to other drafts you've covered, what's the anticipation level of this one given some of the quarterback drama surrounding the top of this draft?
I think it's rising as we've gone on. I think that our starting point was Kyler Murray wasn't in the draft, remember? And that was, oh boy, this quarterback crop not that great. All we're going to talk about are big guys. There's nothing wrong with big guys, but it's like in the NBA, there used to be an adage that big guys can't sell shoes. And you remember selling your shoe was, you know, that was a big deal, right? That tells you about popularity, who was buying your stuff, the whole deal. So the centers were never the popular shoe. Like, guys didn't say, hey, I need to go out and get a pair of Wilts. You know, I got to go out and get a pair of Kareems. You know, it was the guys that looked more like them, even though they're 6'6", 6'7", and flying through the air. It feels like you can relate to them better than a 7-footer. So in this case now, because Kyler Murray jumped into the draft and changed the intrigue, and then once he measured 5'10 and 1/8, which felt like 6'4", in today's football, it changed the dynamics of things. Because otherwise, we were talking about starting off most draft conversations with, do you like Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, or Josh Allen better? And most football fans don't stay with that quite as long as if you say, yeah, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, yeah, or Drew Locke better. Yeah. Even though Haskins, Locke, Murray, probably not rated ahead of too many, if any, of the guys in last year's draft, probably Lamar Jackson would be the one that would be in the most jeopardy.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Total sense.
Charles, when it comes to Kyler Murray, you know, and we've obviously, like every show on the planet, talked about this a lot. I feel like, sure, there's a lot of reasons he's in the conversation to possibly be the first overall pick, but I feel like the biggest and by far the most significant is Cliff Kingsbury's the coach of the Cardinals, and he runs an offense that presumably is tailor-made for a guy with the talents of Kyler Murray. I mean, if Cliff Kingsbury weren't the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals who own the number one pick, would Kyler Murray even be in the conversation as the first overall pick?
He would be in the conversation. He's that good. And is that dynamic a playmaker? So depending on who was the coach of the Arizona Cardinals, could they envision themselves creating that type of offense that takes most advantage of him? Now, if we were talking about this 5 years ago, we'd be hard-pressed to find an NFL coach you'd go to and go, yeah, I think he would do it. Most of them would be like, what? He only played with a 5'10 and 1/8 quarterback? No, not doing it. The game has changed because they're much more receptive of what college football is giving them. See, for the longest time, the NFL just resisted it. But as college football continued to evolve and change, what has happened is you're getting many more of the quarterbacks that are like Kyler Murray. And on the defensive side of the ball, you're getting smaller defenders. Because you know how fast the college game is, guys. You can't have – remember Terrence Cody from Alabama, Mount Cody?
Yes.
If you put him on the field in one play, when were you getting him off the field? Because it was moving too fast, right? If you tried to sub him out, they'd catch a 12th man on the field. You'd have a problem. So all these defenders have gotten lighter. And now have you noticed in the NFL, what are your middle linebackers? They don't look like Dick Butkus anymore, do they?
Nope.
They don't look like Brian Urlacher. They look like Deion Jones, Quan Alexander. The two guys are coming out this year, Devin White, Devin Bush. So your point is well taken on Cliff Kingsbury. But I do think there are a number of coaches now in the league that would have said, I love this kid. We can do things with this. And remember, you don't have to totally gimmick up the offense. Kyler Murray makes plays out of the pocket. Kyler Murray runs the RPOs. Kyler Murray runs the dropback stuff. And because he's always been 5'10 and 1/8, he's not adjusting to all of a sudden, you know, bigger. And I'll put it to you this way.
If he had been 6'3 and 6'4 in college and now all of a sudden was 5'10 and 1'8, that would be an adjustment. Right. He's been adjusting like this his whole life. This is not new for him. And take a look if you want. Have fun with this, guys. After our conversation, look up the heights and weights of the offensive line he played behind this year at Oklahoma. Four of those guys will be drafted this year. They're a massive group of people. He's learned how to operate in that space.
That's a good point. Hey, since we're on the topic of diminutive quarterbacks.
LeBaron.
right. No, I'm not going there, although I'm the one most likely to go there. Anyway.
Okay, sorry.
We got a kid here in Houston named De'Ara King, who went down, is going to play for Dana Holgorsen this year. Went down with a knee injury last year with a couple of games to go. Had already amassed 50 touchdowns, passing and rushing, who feels like certainly that type of guy with that type of skill set. I know it's way, way early. Any thoughts on his pro potential?
Well, I haven't watched any tape on him, so it'd be wrong for me to say. But because of what we've had recently in the NFL, I would say, based off of what you're telling me, he's going to get a look. Okay, there's no doubt about it. In past years, guys who did a number of those things that didn't meet the height, weight dimensions, the look wasn't even there. Son, can you play slot receiver? Son, can you turn over and play corner? Now you're going to get the look. When I think about where we are now in NFL, I always come back to Doug Flutie and keep thinking Doug Flutie was really too soon because he got a look, but how many people gave him the extended look and stuck with him through thick and thin, even when he produced? It didn't help that Mike Ditka called him Bambi, you know, right out of the gate.
Right.
And that was a big one to overcome. He goes to Buffalo behind Rob Johnson, their big free agent acquisition, who looked the part, never played it, okay? But still, he gets hurt. Flutie takes over. They get to the playoffs. I'm in Nashville now. This is where the Music City Miracle happened. But Doug Flutie didn't start that playoff game. Rob Johnson did. Got healthy, and they brought him back. Now, you can't just say, oh, God, it brought Rob Johnson, but they got blown out. That's not the case. But at the same time, they didn't stick with Doug Flutie at that time. Now, part of that was still the era of, hey, quarterback had his job back even after he'd been hurt. And then Bill Belichick blew that out of the water with Brady and Bledsoe, and now people do it all the time. But who stuck with Doug Flutie through thick and thin? No one. Now, go back and watch Doug Flutie's college tape and tell me he wouldn't get the same shot and we wouldn't have the same conversation we're having about Kyler Murray right now.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's a great topic, absolutely. Charles Davis of the NFL Network joining us here on Sports Radio 610. All right, Charles, I'm looking at your latest mock draft, and you have the Texans going offensive line with the 23rd pick, Greg Little, out of Ole Miss. I think most Texan fans here have gotten lathered up over the possibility of getting Andre Dillard, maybe having to trade up to do that. But Dillard is the guy that I think a lot of Texan fans have as their ideal scenario. Give us sort of a tale of the tape or a comparison between Dillard, and if they end up having to maybe put air quotes, settle for Greg Little, what's the comparison between Little and Dillard, and why does Little provide a good fit for the Texans?
Probably the comparison is down the stretch last year or so, maybe even a little bit more, Andre Dillard's production as a pass protector better than Greg Little's. Greg Little was the touted guy who should have been the number one left tackle in this year's draft. Didn't play quite to that level. Part of that, his own fault. Part of that, if you go back and think about college kids and watch programs, they get hit with heavy probations where they're not going to bowl games, right? They have no chance of winning a conference title. A little bit of a malaise settles over a program, and sometimes that affects the kids as well. I think that Greg Little is going to play better going forward, but again, we're all projecting, right? We don't know. If you're basing it off of how they played over the last year, Andre Diller's been the better player as a pass protector. But I will tell you this, Andre Dillard is not a great run blocker in my estimation. He is an okay run blocker. He's a positional run blocker. Greg Little, if he puts the whole package together, as we had projected 2 years ago, he's the better overall football player, but he hasn't proven it. That's why, you know, if you're going to tell me and hold my feet to the fire, I'd probably take Andre Dillard because the production's been there and that's what I've seen. Potentially, though, Greg Little's a better-looking offensive tackle. Size, weight, speed, all of those things. He's going to take some coaching now because he hasn't quite been the same guy. But I do think that people are liking the opportunity to work with a guy like that. But again, I'll just finish it one more time. If you're saying flat out who had the better production, you'd say Andre Dillard. But the one thing you do have to take into consideration with Dillard, that ball was out of everybody's hands really fast in Washington State, and they rarely ran the football. So as a run blocker, he's not the guy you're really saying, yeah, he's going to move people and maul people because he's never done it before.
Well, cornerback is not far behind offensive tackle in terms of the wish list for the Texans. Kind of a two-part question for you. Number one, will Greedy Williams be on the board at 23? And number two, if they wait till the 55th and 56th picks that they own to address cornerback, what kind of talent might be available at that point?
Yeah, and look, Greedy Williams is one of the most polarizing guys that I know you talk to. The one thing everyone agrees on is that he should be the number one corner on the board because of his talent. I mean, he more than looks the part, right? I mean, you guys have seen him. He's beautiful on the hoof, all right? Size, speed, ball skills, all the things you're looking for. Tackling ability, haven't really seen it. Doesn't mean he can't do it. Reminds me a lot of Dominic Rogers-Cromartie coming out. Didn't see him tackle very many people at Tennessee State. Became a better tackler in the NFL. And, of course, the coverage ability stayed strong. So, yeah, I would bet now that he's not available at 23. I think he'll come off the board earlier because I just think people will say, I can't turn down the coverage skills, and that's what's going to win for you in the NFL. You know, if it's an old option game and everybody's running the wishbone, okay, I'd have to get a different corner. But we're all flinging it around. So I think that'll be it. Now, you asked about second and the third round. I think there'll be a lot of talent there. Alani Johnson from Kentucky is getting first-round consideration. He may end up in the second round, okay? Another guy I absolutely love is a kid that people don't talk about much named Sean Bunting from Central Michigan. I think that he's a guy that'd be second, third round and would be someone that you would be very interested in and watching. Julian Love from Notre Dame, I think, is going to go into the second round, even though he's an All-American corner there. The key bet with him is, does he move inside and play more of a nickel slot corner as opposed to being outside? A long press corner, Jawan Williams from Vanderbilt. Again, another guy I think gets into the second, third round, and it's someone you take a look at. So I guess what I'm telling you is I think that there is talent on the corner. Second through fourth rounds, you can find players. But there will be a run, I believe, in the first round, especially as we get into the 20s, on cornerbacks, the Byron Murphys, the Greedy Williams, DeAndre Bakers. Rocky Sin is going to be in that conversation. I'm hearing Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky's in that conversation. Lonnie's a big, thick, strong corner with better footwork and better movement skills than what he looks like. I mean, I'll admit, I developed a man crush on him when I was watching him in Mobile. First time I saw him in uniform, I was like, oh, man. And then when I watched the footwork and the movement, okay, I get it. The problem I have with him, one interception in 2 years in college at Kentucky. Does he have true ball skills? And ball skills are paramount because everyone's playing takeaway in the NFL nowadays.
Charles Davis from the NFL Network joining us. Charles, last one before we let you go. We've got the NFL Network on in our studio here, and this Patrick Peterson.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. During this time of year and any time of year, we've got it on in here. The story about Patrick Peterson removing all the Cardinals logos and references from his social media has certainly sparked at least a little bit of smoke around Patrick Peterson right now. Yeah. Asking as somebody who covers a team that has a huge need at cornerback, as Rich just outlined, with the Texans, if you were Brian Gain, would you make a call to the Cardinals about a Patrick Peterson trade? And what do you think is something reasonable for a guy who's been one of the best corners in football, who's in the middle of his prime right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I would make that phone call. And I would tell them Antonio Brown went for a 3 and a 5. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now we're talking comparable production on the other side of the ball, aren't we? Patrick Peterson's a guy like, you're never going to be able to quantify a Patrick Peterson with numbers because people don't throw the ball in his direction. So you can't say, you know, well, he doesn't have enough interceptions. Well, he gets 3 balls thrown at him at a game. It's a little bit different. All right. Plus, he's still willing to return kicks, and he can still be a game-changing guy as a punt returner. And I think he's a guy who can be very good in the locker room. He is very frustrated right now because the Cardinals have not been very good, and something had to have happened behind the scenes because he did this last year during the season. You remember, not the social media part, but he talked about getting traded and then came back, apologized, said he wanted to be a Cardinal for life. So this is twice now
in less than really a calendar year. What is going on there? And, oh, by the way, at the combine, when the Kyler Murray talk really flared up about the Cardinals, do you remember someone else who removed all of the Cardinals logos from their social media? It was Josh Rosen. And afterwards, he said he was hacked and everything was restored.
Oh, jeez.
But the timing seemed to be, how would we say it, a bit suspect. So there's something brewing there. If it's Patrick Peterson, who I find extremely engaging, mature, great leadership there, I want to listen and find out what's going on, although he may not tell us now, and see if they can work it out behind the scenes. So Cliff Kingsbury will be challenged as a head coach, not just to coach Kyler Murray. And I think that's the one thing people have to keep in mind about head coaches. The best head coaches are not just taking over, hey, I just run this offense. And this. If you're going to be a true head coach, you got to be able to run the team. And I know everyone's looking for Sean McVay, you know, too. If you spend any time around the Rams and watch Sean McVay coach, he's not just coaching his offense. He's not just coaching one side of the ball. He knows exactly what they're doing on defense. I watched him in practice. He knew what Wade Phillips was doing. He knew what they were calling. He knew where guys were supposed to be aligned. And he would say, hey, aren't you supposed to be two outside the hash on that coverage? Yeah, coach, sorry about that. Those are the things you have to do. You can't just come in and do it one way. And people have tried it. I don't think it works very well in the NFL. You need to have the whole locker room respect you, even if you're not coaching that side of the ball.
Man, you are singing the exact tune that we've been singing on this show about the Kingsbury hire from the get-go. Charles Davis, NFL Network analyst, does a phenomenal job. You can follow him on Twitter, at CFD22. Of course, NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2019 NFL Draft from Nashville beginning Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Central Time. Charles, we know this is a really busy week for you, so we appreciate you making a few minutes for us. That was great stuff. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And just to be clear, you know, this isn't just about Cliff. It's about everybody in
yes.
the NFL. When you look at that spate of hirings and everybody's trying to find their next Sean McVay,
yep.
I want to ask every one of the guys who made those hires, did you spend time with Sean McVay, or did you just look at the record and go, hey, I got to get my next Sean McVay?
Yeah, to be
you gotta
clear.
You got to know what makes up Sean McVay and why he's special.
And
most people miss that.
Yeah, no, and to be clear, we've mentioned it with Zach Taylor and some of the other hires as well. You're right. It's more of a pervasive thing than it is a singular thing with Kingsbury. Charles, great stuff. We look forward to watching you on the NFL Network this week and every week. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate your time. You take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.